This is NBC News Radio.
Diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignore these conspiracies online. Out the window, vigilant of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children
Welcome to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome, everyone, to Smart Health Talk, and we have an extra special show planned for you today. We actually have two people from about as far of opposite ends of the United States that you can get. We have Kate Webb, who's over in Vermont, and she is a representative from that state who introduced a mandatory GMO labeling bill. And then we have Ellie Cochran, who's over in Hawaii, and she also was the person responsible for introducing a mandatory GMO labeling bill in Hawaii as a council member from Maui. So I'd like to welcome both of you ladies to Smart Health Talk.
Yep. Hello. Aloha.
Aloha. Yes, hello. Hi, Kate.
Hi. Hi from Vermont.
Thank you so much, both of you. We kind of had a plan, the three of us, on how we would present our show today because Ellie actually has a commitment halfway through the show, so she'll be having to leave us. So we're going to let her go first, and she's going to tell us about a tour that she took on a Monsanto research farm over there in Hawaii. And from what I remember you telling me the last time, Ellie, that's like kind of their crown jewel farm. Is that correct?
Right. That's where pretty much all the products, as in seed corn, that they put out into the world sort of gets, you know, put together here on Maui. And I wasn't sure if you wanted me to update you on the most recent tour in West Maui from the area that I represent.
Right. And just to kind of get everyone up to speed, what Ellie's talking about is that Monsanto, who are the makers of genetically modified corn and other crops as well, they just assumed have everything genetically modified if they had their way. They've pretty much taken over the agriculture industry. And if you haven't been listening to our show before, then you're probably not completely up to speed on that. And pretty much what's happened is that it's like something like 95% of the sugar beets, about 93% of the soy, canola, and cotton out there, and then probably about 86% of the corn is genetically modified at this point in time. The numbers may be a little bit higher because that was last year. So it's pretty much, you know, when you buy those kind of foods, you can pretty much count on it being GMO. And that's because such a high percentage of the crop nowadays is GMO. But that's not the case everywhere in the world. There's a lot of countries that are saying no to GMO. We don't want it here. There's a lot of safety issues. There's been no long-term studies. And so people like Ellie Cochran and Kate Webb, who are representatives out there for the people, have actually responded to the request because they get calls and hear from people within their district saying, hey, you know, this is what we want. And so both of them responded to those calls from people within their their districts to introduce a bill that would require mandatory GMO labeling, so people could actually know whether or not is GMOs in your food or not. And until that label is on the food, there's really no way of knowing, especially with such a large percentage of the acreage now GMO. So Ellie, she actually introduced a GMO bill. When did you introduce your bill, Ellie?
Oh, it was last year.
And also, I wanted to invite Kate to feel like if you want to jump in or have a question for Ellie, you know, please, or vice versa. I want everyone to feel free that they can talk. I'm sorry, I wasn't. When did you say you had introduced the bill?
Yeah, it was last year.
Last year?
A resolution, yes, through our council, and it kind of failed on our county-wide level or statewide level. And there's been other bills passed through into the state legislature, they just kind of got stuck in committee. And so I can give you a brief rundown, I guess, if you want to speak about the House bills and Senate bills relating to GMOs.
Yeah, why don't you give us an update on how it's been working in Hawaii?
I guess it really hasn't been working.
Everyone's
still trying to push it forward, and I guess year after year we'll continue to do so. At this point in 2011, five House bills and four Senate bills relating to GMOs were introduced and referred to the various committees. And at this point, last year, none of those bills were ever scheduled for hearing in their respective committees, unfortunately.
And so that you can't even get anywhere if that
doesn't
happen.
No, that's 2011. Nine different bills have just sat, basically. Now jumping into 2012, five Senate bills and four House bills, one House resolution and one House concurrent resolution, all relating to GMOs, were again introduced and referred again to their standing committees. And once again, none were scheduled for any hearing in this 2012 session.
And so what do you think seems to be the roadblock to that?
Well, I mean, there are people in particular. For the House bills, they are held back by Representative Cliff Tsuji, who is chair of House Committee on Agriculture. So, you know, he's the main guy having to do with ag, and he completely will not have it being heard. And then in the Senate, we have Senator Clarence Nishihara, chair of the Senate Committee on Ag. So, you know, these guys will dictate down what's going to be heard or not. And if they choose to write off the top, say no, then that's where it sits.
That's amazing that just a couple of people, you know, have that much power.
Yeah, and so far this is our roadblock, and they're big roadblocks.
Okay, I have a question for you. As far as, do you see like about 18 other states are starting to introduce bills as well? Do you feel that the other states also moving forward and trying to make efforts to introduce bills, that that's having any kind of influence on in Hawaii, that these other states are also kind of jumping on board?
I'm not sure. Personally, I don't believe that it's affected these two chairs of these committees. Just a side note, Senator Nishihara believes that because there is no clear scientific data that GMOs are unsafe, and that's pretty much the reason why he doesn't even want to hear it. Because for him, there is no proof that it's, you know,
And we do have studies, but something we talked about on the show before, too, is a lot of scientists get punished. If they come up with data that is against GMOs, then they don't get refunded. And so it's kind of a catch-22 on all that. Well, we're going to have to go to break here in a minute. And when we come back, so what were the tours that – so you went on that one tour, right, on Maui?
Yeah, in South Maui. And then I just had a quick follow-up with a tour in West Maui, their West Maui farm, which wasn't it wasn't anything huge. But we can I can elaborate real briefly on what that was.
Okay, yeah, if in the next 10 minutes when we come back, if you could – kind of give us, kind of take us through what that was like. I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah,
so.
There's not a whole lot to say, but anyways, I'll explain.
Okay, well, yeah, any of it, you know, might be significant, and maybe you didn't even realize it. So,
yeah.
All right, everyone. Well, we're going to find out what happened to Ellie at the Monsanto Research Farms in Maui when we come back. So please don't leave.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here on Smart Health Talk, and we have two guests. Our first guest is Ellie Cochran, and she's a council member from Hawaii. And our second guest is Kate Webb, and she is a representative from Vermont. And both those ladies got out there and introduced bills for mandatory GMO labeling. And Ellie was just going to tell us about a couple of her trips to the Monsanto Research Farm, where all the magic happens, right, Ellie?
Oh, yeah. So my second tour is in the district that I represent, which is West Maui, and they had some farms there, seed corn, and basically they were the pears, or I guess the products of what was created in South Maui, you know, the cream of the crop, so to speak, I guess, then planted in West Maui to be grown, you know, like full fields of just that particular breed or whatever hybrid they had come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what West Maui Farms are about. So that day when it was scheduled, it had rained really, really hard the day before. So they were just going to cancel the whole sort of tour through the fields and everything due to, you know, muddy conditions and what have you. So I really just got a real brief kind of tour of the outskirts because we could not get high up in the hills and what have you because of the road conditions.
Okay.
So we just sort of grazed the surface, I guess, of what was really being done there. And so what I saw wasn't really all that impressive. I mean, it was fields that were cleared. They had grown out already, and they were cleared, and stalks were laying down just there for composting and mulching purposes, and they had already harvested, basically, from these areas, and just sort of pointed, you know, where the other fields are and this and that. But not too long after this tour, they called me to say that they have discontinued their farming in West Maui. So I didn't know at the time that they were even contemplating, you know, closing down their farms there. So it was kind of shocking, and because I thought it was such a thriving big business.
And they've been there for a long time, right?
Yeah, they've been there for quite a few years. And so basically their reason, they said, is because of the lack of a long-term lease. So I spoke to the company who they leased the land from, and they said, no, that's true. We aren't interested in giving them a continued long-term lease because the land is slated for development. They have a huge project being proposed. So perhaps that's the reason, but I didn't get any more detail than that. But that's their reason, and they say that they're just going to finish up what's growing in West Maui and close
on operations.
Well,
did they talk to you about, like, the plans for the future, what they're planning to do?
Not in that area. They're basically pulling up stakes.
I meant in general.
No, no.
new crops that they mentioned that they would like to have?
No. You mean to diversify out from corn?
Yeah, exactly.
Into another crop? No.
Okay.
No, not at all. I don't think in particular here in Hawaii, they purposely chose corn because we don't, you know, naturally grow corn here. So I know that's why they picked these islands.
And just to let everyone know, too, that, you know, Hawaii is just kind of like their central location for, like, a lot of this research and that. They pretty much came in and just took over. And a lot of the land that belonged to the local Hawaiians, that kind of thing was going on. And so this has been like a long-term thing, and they're very embedded in a lot of things within the community. Now, why I have you both on the phone, I just think it's ironic, you know, that you know, you've been going through all of these roadblocks, especially because of certain people within your government. Mm-hmm. And yet, Kate, she's been over there in Vermont. And from what I understand, Kate, like, you guys had overwhelming support of that bill. It was ready to be passed. Is that correct?
It's been pretty overwhelming support. One of the challenges we've had is I introduced the bill late in the session, so we're kind of running out of time. But I can tell you we're not running out of interest here whatsoever.
And so a lot of your fellow constituents within your the Congress is very supportive.
Very much so. Very much supportive of the concept. What kind of has everybody concerned is the not only the potential, but the extreme likelihood of litigation from the biotech industry. We are pursuing those questions, and we are really developing, we've had testimony from a variety of sources that believe that we do have the ability to survive a lawsuit with the biotech industry.
Well, I did listen to, it was a public radio station in Vermont there. And I did listen to the Secretary of Agriculture for Vermont, who was there also representing the governor, and he said during that interview, which was just like in the last couple of days, that they didn't feel that the structure of the bill would support litigation for Monsanto. And just to let everyone, you know, get everyone up to speed on this one too, what Kate is talking about is that over in Vermont, they introduced this mandatory GMO labeling, and when it looked like they were about ready to pass the bill, Monsanto pretty much came right out and like said point blank, you know, you pass this bill and we're going to sue you. Is that what happened?
I would say yes. We were always expecting that they would come. And in terms of our administration, probably what people should know is that we're still a little bit stung from a lawsuit that we lost in relation to shutting down our nuclear power plant, and we are now subject to some rather dramatic fees there because we lost that suit. Now, we are working to potentially see if we can overturn that decision.
So you guys are replacing energy from a different source than the nuclear power?
Yes. We have a nuclear power plant here in the southeast corner of the state that is very old and tired and leaking, and we were trying to shut it down, we ran into some problems with Entergy Louisiana.
It's amazing, you know, you try to make these steps forward and to deal with these problems, and you just, you know, you come up against all these things that just make it so hard. You would think that if everyone said, hey, we want this on the label, how much is it really going to cost? You know, you would think that it would be kind of a no-brainer, you know, that we're going to pass this, and all these other countries in the world are passing mandatory GMO labeling, and yet it doesn't happen that way.
Our goal is a little bit different. We are actually not looking at GMO labeling because that is really, we're not going to get anywhere with that. What we're looking at is requiring labeling of products that are produced through genetic engineering. And we believe that that is one way that we could keep the FDA out of regulating that, because we do not believe that the FDA has statutory authority to require labeling of foods produced with genetic engineering, and perhaps that right could be with the states.
Would that be like prescriptions too?
We are not dealing with prescriptions. We're just dealing, you know, we have several exemptions. And that would not be one. I can imagine what would happen if we got into.
Have you ever considered that, Ellie?
For which?
To instead go after products that are made using genetically engineered products. Like, what would be some examples?
Here, though, we're looking at things that are produced here. And, you know, and so I believe someone has changed a bill to that kind of description.
Okay.
To label what's being, you know, exported out or grown or whatever exported out from here, just to, so people know that this is a GMO product and what have you. But my question, I had a comment real quick because I have to go pretty quick here. If Kate, you heard of the precautionary principle? And if this has been brought up in your lawsuits at all?
It may have been. I haven't heard that one.
It's generally the burden of proof that something is harmful or not falls on the person taking that, like, as in GMO.
Yes. Well,
you know what I mean? A lot of our representatives here say there is no proof. There is no clear science, what have you. But this precautionary principle states that if it has a suspected risk of even, you know, causing harm to the public or environment, in the absence of scientific consensus that the action or policy is harmful, the burden of proof that it is not harmful falls on those taking the action. So that is a pretty strong principle that is applies directly to, you know, this subject. Basically, and that's how I was able to sell at least my rezo on this county level, which passed two other counties, but it failed Oahu County, who, you know, where our main state legislature resides. So it's no.
So if it doesn't pass there, you can pretty much forget it.
And that's where it's being held up. So that's kind of our dilemma at this point. But, yeah, I know people are rewording and reinserting and trying to pass some type of protection somewhere. And so far, you know, no takers here in my state, which is unfortunate. But people like myself will continue to plug on. And I'm looking forward to learning from others like Vermont and other states. And hopefully we can band together and come collectively as one big, strong voice. You know,
Happy to send you our bill once it's
great,
ready to be. You know, what we're probably going to do is get this to a point where we can introduce it again next year.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm expecting.
Yeah, very good. Yep.
Well,
okay.
And thanks so much, Ellie. That's a really good point on, you know, getting people to share and, mm-hmm. you know, and come up with some of these different strategies, because I happen to believe that we're smart enough, we're going to figure this out and at least get, you know, give people their rights. That's
right.
That's what we're fighting for.
Yep. Education, awareness, and just get people up to speed on what it means and what it's about. And I think the more we do that, the better and stronger support we'll be getting. So, yeah, unfortunately, I got to go.
Thank you. Thanks, Ellie.
Thank you for the time. And I'm looking forward to keeping in touch with you, Kate, and good luck in all you do, too. Thank you, Elaine.
You'll hear from me, Ellie. Thank you so much. And everyone, stay tuned, because we're going to come back and we're going to talk some more with Kate about what kinds of things are happening around these bills in Vermont and see what we can learn from it. So stay tuned.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit ionchargeminerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Kate Webb. She's over in Vermont, and she's actually a representative there. How long have you been a representative, Kate?
I am finishing my fourth year, my second term. We are a citizen legislature. I don't know if you know that. So there are 150 of us in the House and 30 in the Senate, and we represent a state of about 630,000 people, but we're a small and brave little state.
I tell you, when I was reading the history about how you guys were actually the ones that stood up to Monsanto about the bovine growth hormone.
Yes.
In the dairy industry.
Yes, we did that one. And one of the concerns is that particular case in which we lost. Now, there's another case that we won, and this is what I mean by a brave little state. Under current First Amendment law, we had a lawsuit with National Electric Manufacturing about labeling mercury light bulbs. This was in 2001, I believe. And we won that one, and they determined that states are free to compel the disclosure of factual commercial speech as long as the means employed by the state are rationally related to the state's legitimate interest. Ding, 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 state's legitimate interest. So we are right now, and this is why I'm not worried if we don't pass anything this year. I think if we can really set ourselves up to be able to present a case that we are, that our request for labeling genetically engineered food is rationally related to the state's legitimate interests. So that's, and we had, I don't know, I think it was 400 people came to the State House last week, and we had 100 people testify. They each had about a minute to testify. And all of that is going to be transcribed this summer. And these pieces of transcription will be used to help build the case that we have a legitimate interest. A legitimate interest, we found, unfortunately, is not an interest such as gratification of consumer curiosity. It has to be more compelling than that. So we're working on a variety of ways of expressing this, and what we're looking at is that to serve the legitimate interest of the states, we want to do this to prevent consumer deception, to promote food safety, to protect religious practices, protect the environment, and promote economic development. I mean, there are more ways to skin a cat than this is the way that we hope to go.
Yeah, I was wondering about some of those things too. Well, first of all, I was like, gosh, you know, they lost that one regarding the. And if, for people that aren't familiar with the bovine growth hormone, it's actually another Monsanto product where they they genetically modified a hormone that they would give to all these cows to get them to produce more milk. And it had some like kind of gross side effects with like enlarged udders that were like gigantic, things like that were kind of sick.
Ended up being very hard on the cows.
Yeah, and it just was kind of like, you know, you're when you like hear all about it, you're like, gosh, and this is supposed to be a good thing. It doesn't sound like it to me. So, you know, I really started getting that impression on you guys that you're willing to really go out there. And I was very much impressed with the Secretary of Agriculture too during that interview, because he was so strong in his response that yes, we very much support this mandatory GMO labeling, and you know, the governor's behind this, I'm behind this, and we're trying to figure this out.
Yes, and that's really going to be up to us to set the stage to say we can win a lawsuit. Now, right now, the bill is still in the House Agriculture Committee. There's a reasonable chance that it will be voted out tomorrow. I do not believe that it would come to the floor. I believe it's going to be sent to the Judiciary Committee. And the Judiciary Committee will have a little bit more time to look at the legal implications here, because that's really the only thing that's stopping us. And it's really how to set it up to win.
Yeah, that's exactly what Mr. Norris was saying, that it needs to be structured the right way. And I also wanted to ask you as far as you know, the the GMOs, like, I love what you're saying, and I like the points that you're bringing up. And actually, I'd like to share an email with you that I wrote, because I worked with WIC for a while as well. Mm-hmm. And WIC gets their funding because they are able to demonstrate that for every dollar they spend, they save like $3.12. And so I thought, you know, hey, we need to do that with GMOs more, where we're actually showing, putting dollar amounts on this. Oh, I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
Yeah, anyway, that was just, you know, that if we could show, you know, that, yeah, we, you know, we go forward with using these crops, but what are the side effects? What are the things that we end up having to spend money on as a result of that? Is that kind of what you guys were thinking?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we already know that certain crops that are produced with genetic engineering are now that there are some weeds that are growing up that are resistant to
The Roundup?
Roundup,
ready pesticide.
Yeah, so there are some implications here that are important. We had someone that spoke with a committee, and he made what I thought was a very good point, and he said that he's wondering why, if Monsanto thought that their genetically engineered food was so good, why wouldn't they proudly label their products? And, in fact, I guess we've even seen some word from I guess there was an advertisement by Monsanto in France where they were talking about how great their genetically engineered foods were. So,
but yet they don't want to like brag about it on the label, because they know that the reaction of people, they've already surveyed people, and it's something like 90% say, well, number one, that they want the information available to them, but some people, they don't want them at all. They don't want to be eating them. They don't want to put them in their body. We really have no long-term research that's demonstrating the safety. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of just the opposite research. And I'd like to get into that a little bit more, and just some of the things that the people tell you when they the stories that they tell you on their reasons on why they think this is important. I would really like to hear that, if you have a couple of stories. So we have to cut to break right now, but when we come back, if you can think of a couple of things that you would like to share with us that maybe might our listeners might be able to relate to, and see where the motivation would be on why people get so passionate about this. Okay, everyone, stay tuned, and we're going to continue this great discussion that we're having with Kate. So come back.
And now a word from our Smart Health Talk sponsors.
A precious deposit that came from the mightiest of mountains, created from the strongest forces of nature, and lie hidden for 15 million years beneath the surface of a remote desert, has now been found. A mineral deposit like no other, nature in its most perfect form. Minerals are one of the key foundations of life and may not always be complete in food, but you can now have all that nature has to offer in one pure source. Ion Charge Minerals bring you 57 ionic minerals to nourish your body with the raw materials it needs to rebuild, revitalize, and help generate energy within every cell. Experience mineral power and the new energy and endurance that is yours when you give your body what it needs to build a stronger you. Visit IonChargeMinerals.com or go to Smart Health Talk website and find out how you can benefit from the power of minerals today.
Be sure to visit our website at SmartHealthTalk.com. Welcome back to Smart Health Talk with your host, Elaine McFadden.
Welcome back, everyone. We're here with Kate Webb, and she's telling us what it was like introducing a mandatory GMO labeling bill. And actually, you said that really wasn't the strategy that you guys were using. So can you kind of explain that a little bit more, Kate?
Sure. What we're looking at, instead of labeling, which would really send us right into the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, which has the jurisdiction over labeling. We are looking at it as labeling of foods that have been produced with genetic engineering, and we believe that that we would not get into the preemption clause if we presented it that way. And we have testimony from some legal scholars and consumer advocates that may well be, that language may well get us through.
And this whole big fight is because when we ask Monsanto to please label which foods have genetically modified organisms in it, and I'd like to stress organisms because a lot of people kind of get mixed up, I think, where they think, oh, that GMOs are kind of like pesticides and that it's something that you can wash away. And it's really not. They're actually living organisms that they want to survive, and they'll embed in – actually, they're finding they embed in your gut bacteria, which is kind of freaky. But we were, before we cut to break, we were also talking about how you guys were looking at ways that you can justify that it's beneficial for the state of Vermont.
Right.
And yep. And I thought it was interesting that last week when we had Dag Flack from Nature's Path Foods, who's the person that works directly with farmers to transition from conventional to organic so that they have future suppliers, that he found he studies all the research in that, and he found that the latest research is actually showing that we can have higher yields by year three with organic. So I was just thinking, like, if we can have higher yields and with organic and we don't have to spend all that money on those pesticides, I mean, isn't that going to reduce the cost of crops, you know, if we're not having to use all those pesticides and then all the side effects of pesticides when it gets into the groundwater and the rivers?
Well, certainly in the short run, it's much more expensive to do organics. But in the long run, when you look at the impact, certainly I do a lot with clean water as well. When you look at the long-term effect, then it is more expensive. We had an interesting piece of legislation that passed out of here before I was in, and it was a seed trespass law. And we were saying that if you had genetically engineered seed, and as you know, you're not allowed to save seed, and it trespassed on someone who was had an organic farm, that you had the right to sue. And Monsanto did a nice job with that and said, sure, you can sue the farmer, but you can't sue us. So that, of course, would pit farmer against farmer. And again, we are a small and neighborly state, so that did not work well for us.
Wow. And that, you know, so there's so much that we're learning. And I just wanted to mention, too, that I hope people realize just how powerful, like what we're talking about today, states taking the initiative to introduce these bills, and that we have 18 states coming on board, because what people don't realize is that things like smoking on airplanes, smoking in restaurants, you know, things like this was, you know, that started off as a state legislation. In California, it was actually the first state to pass that. And because other states followed suit, it then became a national law. And so, like, what we're doing right now with different states coming on board and everyone trying to kind of find the right formula of how, you know, how do we write legislation? Because, like Kate mentioned, you know, you would think, oh, they would be so proud of these products. Why don't they want to, like, brag about it on the label? But they're paying millions and millions of dollars to lobby and keep that information off the label. And it's like all this stuff has just been kind of snuck into our food system in the last 10 years. And people are like, what? GMOs? What are you talking about? Do you find
that's absolutely very true that it's snuck in. And I guess it happened somewhere around Bush 1 and unfortunately followed up with Clinton. And my understanding is that as Bush 1 was exiting, the biotech industry was coming up with all of these genetically engineered products, and they had a tremendous amount of money, obviously, invested in this. So they decided to say, well, you know, we'll use the existing legal framework for these kinds of products. And that would include the FDA with food safety, and that's turned out to have absolutely no teeth whatsoever, and the EPA and the USDA. So it's just, you know, as we know this is a David and Goliath story, but we have to remember that in the end, David won.
And that's one of the things that I was hoping that we could get across today on the show, because, you know, we have Hawaii and Vermont, you know, two of the smallest states in the union, and yet you're going up against corporate giant Monsanto Goliath. And there's a possibility that you can win.
And there's also, I talked to Little Connecticut last week as well, and I'm not sure where it is right now. Their bill is out of their committee. I haven't followed up this week to see where they are. But again, I think if we can, there's an awful lot of support across the country. In fact, I was interviewed by a gentleman from Texas who referred to himself as to the right of Rush Limbaugh, and he and I were in support of, we were both in support of this labeling.
So this is something that everyone can come together on.
It can cross party lines, absolutely.
Well, if you look at, I know that I've read some documents that show that a lot of past Monsanto employees have very significant positions within the federal government.
Isn't that interesting?
It's amazing. I mean, when you look at it, how many of them that were past employees of Monsanto have key positions in the federal government, and you wonder why some things happen the way they do. And, you know, there's definitely, you know, I'm sure that they're swayed and have loyalties with Monsanto when they take those jobs. So, and you're right, Clinton, I remember seeing it was one of the GMO industry or something. They had, like, his picture on the front of their webpage, and I was like, okay, I guess I guess it goes all the way to the top. But, you know, it's the power of the people, and I think that's kind of our message today. And, you know, you've heard from the people within your state. They've talked to you and told you, we want this changed.
And the people here are not saying that we can't have genetically engineered foods coming into the state. They're simply saying we just would like to know.
And that's it, you know, and we have a right in this country to know what's in our food. And it wasn't until we started putting all this weird stuff in there, now more than ever, that these laws, you know, it gets complicated. And, yeah, the companies don't like it too much, but guess what? We have a right to know what you're putting in that product because we put it in our body and it affects our health, so... You're just going to have to cough up the information, I'm afraid. So, well, I really want to thank you, Kate, for all your hard work and everything that you're doing out there. You and Ellie are role models for all of us that you just barrel through with no fear and get out there, and you know that you're there representing the people and their interest, and you put that above everything, and I really want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you, too.
Okay, everyone. Well, we're going to be posting this podcast along with some of our other Earth Day, our past Earth Day podcasts, and a lot more information for Earth Day. So please check back on our website in the next day or two, and all that will be up there for you. And thanks again, Kate, and tune in next week because we're going to have another exciting show for you. So stay healthy.
Be sure to visit our website at smarthealthtalk.com. Hi, my name is Don Sazi. If you enjoy the Smart Health Talk theme music, visit my website, www.donsazi.com, to hear the complete song, as well as other great music.
Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Right before me, my newfound hippie side. Once ignored these conspiracies online. Out the window, visions of the earth. Sign me up now, make sure you use your smart. Take a walk on the wild side. Will the birds and the bees survive? Would your children lie to see Mother Nature's
CAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM. The station that leaves no listener behind.